On Wednesday, December 6th, the President of the United States formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel, breaking with more than 60 years of official U.S. policy. Why did this happen? What does it mean? And what might happen next? To respond to the urgency of this moment, Unsettled is trying something new, a mini-series. We're bringing you short episodes featuring experts and activists, each with a different perspective on the new status of Jerusalem. For this episode, I spoke to Dov Waxman, professor of political science, international affairs, and Israel studies at Northeastern University.
Well, you know, we're particularly interested, you know, in talking to you because your expertise on the fissures in the Jewish community. I'm wondering how this news hit you in light of that.
Well, I certainly, just in terms of the argument of my book about the growing divisions within the American Jewish community over Israel, I think those divisions were very much on full display yesterday and today in the reaction to President Trump's announcement recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. On the one hand, you know, that has led to kind of celebrations from those parts of the American Jewish community on the right and from much of the kind of mainstream American Jewish establishment who have welcomed Trump's decision without any sort of qualifications or caveats. On the other hand, American Jews on the center left and on the left, I think, have reacted with a great deal of kind of worry, despondency, and dismay. And I think it's quite striking. I mean, if you think about how important Jerusalem is in Jewish liturgy, in Jewish collective memory, in Jewish history, you would have thought that this announcement might have elicited a kind of unified positive reaction. And in years past, that may have been the case. But the fact that the reaction has been so disparate, I think, testifies to the fact that Jerusalem, or the status of Jerusalem, like so many other issues in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, is now something about which American Jews are bitterly divided over.
Is there something specific about Jerusalem that makes this even more heated?
I mean, clearly Jerusalem carries a huge religious and historic importance to Jews, and so it's very emotionally resonant for them. I think when many American Jews imagine Israel in their mind's eye, that is often what they often imagine might be pictures of the Western Wall, where most American Jews, well, the minority of American Jews, that is, who visit Israel, you know, they'll often, that will be one of the first places they will go to, is to Jerusalem. It's also true, though, that when most American Jews go to Jerusalem, I doubt they step foot in East Jerusalem, or they do step foot in East Jerusalem, rather, but they don't realize they're stepping foot in East Jerusalem. That is, when they visit the old city.
I studied for a semester in Jerusalem when I was in high school, and I don't think I even understood, you know, that there was an East and West Jerusalem, and I don't know if that's reflective of me or my education.
No, I think that's quite typical. I think that partly explains why from probably many American Jews, they probably don't fully understand quite why Trump's announcement is so important or potentially important. And they might see it, as Trump himself framed it, as simply a recognition of reality. They go to West Jerusalem. They may have seen the Knesset. They may know of friends or family who have spent time in West Jerusalem. And for them, that is essentially what Jerusalem is. That is what they equate with Jerusalem. But of course, Jerusalem isn't just the Jewish populated parts. Jerusalem is also contains a third of the city is Palestinians. And I think most American Jews are also probably not aware of the simple fact that when they think of visiting the Western Wall, for example, they think of visiting the Kotel, they think of going into the Old City, they're actually entering what is officially, according to international law, East Jerusalem. And therefore, according to international law, occupied territory. Personally, I take students from my university, Northeastern University, to Israel in the West Bank. And for many of them, when we go into a part of East Jerusalem, for example, it's like it feels to them like entering a completely different world, a world that they barely knew even existed. And this might be true for students who have lived in Israel before, or visited many times. I think that's part of the problem when it comes to understanding more broadly American Jewish attitudes and perceptions of Israel, is that so often these attitudes and perceptions are really divorced from reality. It's really an Israel as a kind of fantasy land or a place where they can play out their own issues and dramas and identity politics. And it often really does fail to recognize the much more complicated reality of what life is really like there, and particularly of what is life is like for people who is American Jews wouldn't ordinarily encounter. And I'm not just talking about Palestinians. That might also be true for Palestinian Arab citizens of Israel, or Bedouins in Israel, or even Mizrahi Jews living in a development town, is that American Jews have a very, very, typically at least, narrow view and experience of the country. And I think that's problematic when it comes to shaping their attitudes and politics on this issue.
Because this announcement is about Israel, one might assume that it's a policy with American Jews in mind. And I'm wondering if that is true, and if not, who is this for?
Well, I think clearly in understanding what's driving his decision, it is in, to my mind, largely about domestic politics. But it's not primarily aimed at an American Jewish audience in that respect. Let's not forget that the vast majority of the American Jewish community didn't vote for Donald Trump. So I think, you know, there's this kind of misunderstanding that when it comes to the politics of Israel and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in the U.S., that American Jews are the primary audience for that. More than this being aimed at American Jews, it's aimed at evangelical Christian voters, and who have been very reliable allies of the president, and I think the president clearly wants to keep them happy. So in addition to evangelical Christian voters, I think he is also clearly concerned about a very small subset of American Jewish donors, and I'm specifically referring to Sheldon Adelson in this, who has been a major supporter of the president. So I think it's not about trying to woo the larger American Jewish community for whom President Trump and his administration is an anathema, essentially. I think there's overwhelming disapproval within the American Jewish community to Trump personally, to his policies, and I don't think this decision concerning Jerusalem is really going to change wider American Jewish attitudes toward Trump, but it's certainly going to please, let's say, the 10% of American Jews who are Orthodox, and maybe the 20%, 25% who have strongly favored the U.S. moving its embassy to Jerusalem.
As you mentioned there, you know, most Jewish voters did not cast their vote for Trump. But then some Jewish representatives like Chuck Schumer, who has been loudly advocating for this move, how can that be explained?
Well, I think in part some Democratic members of Congress are not necessarily completely have their ear to the ground in terms of where the American Jewish community is today. In other words, they may still be under the false impression that there is this overwhelming support for Israel, for Israeli government policies within the American Jewish community, and that, you know, recognizing Jerusalem to be Israel's capital would be something that would appeal to the majority of American Jews. If they believe that, if Schumer, for example, believes that, then it's clearly wrong, but he may well be under that impression simply because that was once the case in the past, maybe when he was developing his understanding of the American Jewish community. But I think it's not just that. I think we have to take into account the influence of pro-Israel lobby groups here. And Schumer has long had, for example, had received support from AIPAC. Groups like AIPAC don't necessarily represent the view of the majority of American Jews, but they do represent the views of the minority of American Jews who are most vocal and most mobilized around Israel issues. And therefore, they tend to be the ones that politicians, for understandable reasons, pay the most attention to. American Jews may be more supportive of a more even-handed U.S. role in the peace process, for example. Most American Jews wouldn't want the United States to have done this move at this point in time. But the organizations that politicians typically hear from, in particular AIPAC, but not only AIPAC, they are pushing a harder line, a more rightward line on this issue. And those are the organizations that politicians tend to take notice of.
Well, the last question I have for you is, you know, for those of us who care about Jerusalem, for those of us in the Jewish community and in other communities, what's the takeaway here?
Well, I think in terms of how this is going to play out, the thing to pay attention to what the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, does, and not what he says, but what he does, as in, you know, is this going to actually lead the Palestinians to really change their tactics? Are they going to step up efforts, for example, to take Israel to the International Criminal Court? Are they going to refuse or scale back the kind of security coordination that Palestinian Authority does with Israel? If no actions really materialize and if little really changes on the ground, then I think this will be seen as confirming the views of those in the Netanyahu government and in the Trump administration that this was a good thing. The other thing I think to pay attention to is what the Israeli government's going to do next. In particular, is this going to embolden right-wing elements within the current government and in the Knesset to kind of step up their attempts to annex West Bank territory, for example? Will they now see a kind of green light coming from Washington that's going to encourage them to be more, even bolder in trying to permanently gain control of West Bank land, or reconfiguring, redrawing the borders of Jerusalem to exclude large numbers of Palestinian residents of East Jerusalem and include residents of West Bank settlements?
I think that's, you know, on an emotional level, that's, I grew up hearing, you know, the reason that the United States and Israel have such a good relationship is because of the shared democratic values. Mm. And if the democratic values are no longer what's upheld, and, you know, if there's a green light to annex more territory while not naturalizing Palestinian citizens, does that mean a future democratic president might think differently about American and Israeli relationships? I'm not sure.
Right. I think, I mean, the on one side of the aisle, there's a view that, you know, true friendship with Israel means sometimes giving it advice or even pressure when it's acting in ways that undermine its own interests. And I think that view is definitely gaining ground among Democrats, whereas Republicans are becoming even more assertive in their pro-Israelism. And you know, the alliance, if you like, between the Republican Party and the Likud in Israel is growing stronger and stronger. And yesterday's announcement by Trump is just another evidence of that very strong alliance. But how Democrats react to that, I think, remains to be seen. I'm not sure the current Democratic leadership is really prepared to do much in that respect. But I think it does challenge. But I would also say that on the question of kind of the erosion of, let's say, democratic norms and liberal values in Israel, that is certainly true, and that's been happening for some time. I think there's also, obviously, we've seen in the United States in the last year, challenges to democratic norms and liberal values. So in that respect, The two countries aren't quite as far apart as they might seem.
Unsettled is produced by Emily Bell, Asaf Calderon, Yoshi Fields, Max Friedman, and me. This episode was edited by Max Friedman. Original music by Nat Rosenzweig. Get more information and listen to previous episodes at our website, unsettledpod.com. And be sure to stay tuned for the next episode of our Jerusalem mini-series. In the meantime, don't forget to follow Unsettled on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And most importantly, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode of Unsettled.